Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. In a few minutes, we'll be talking about beer and college students, but it's not what you might think. We'll explain a little bit later. But first, Tony La Russa is one of the best baseball managers in history and certainly one of the best ever to skipper the St. Louis Cardinals. He's being inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame on Sunday. He'll be cited for his success with the Oakland Athletics and Chicago White Sox, as well as with the Cardinals, but will enter the hall showing no team logo, saying all contributed to his success. I spoke about his career and his book, One Last Strike, with La Russa in 2012, long before the hall induction was announced, and asked if a manager really makes a difference in winning ball games.
I remember in the old days, the old managers, they would say, well, I'm good for 5, 10, yeah. And some of the great ones thought, well, I'm 17 or 18. We, you know, as a staff, we've looked at that, and I think the players are the game. It's our players against their players. Their coaching staff, their manager, they're doing the same things we're trying to do, which is put the players in a position to succeed. So most of what you do is prior to the game and tweaking during the game. The only thing a manager does is you do make decisions during the game. There are strategies about defense here and bunt and all that stuff, but the most important thing you do is handle the bullpen, and it's to be judged whether some guys handle the bullpen better than others. So I think it's my answer is, as a coaching staff, we're involved with the team every day, all year. And if we have a good year, we've contributed, but we are never the show, they're the show.
Well, how about those last 30 games in the regular season last year? How many of those games do you think Tony La Russa won?
I didn't win any of them. Our team won, but it was unusual. In fact, the main reason our players had made a pledge to play with an urgency in the competition. In the end, you know, you can get pretty, you can get distracted by fame and fortune, but the reason you're in uniform is just to play a game of baseball against the other team. There's a score, and our team really embraced that. And there at the end in August, things got a little hazy, and we reconnected, and then we made this run. And at first, we were just kind of we want to reestablish that we were going to give it the gung-ho effort, and we got closer and closer. The only thing that I think was unusual, because we felt that most of our starting pitchers had been taxed, we made a lot of bullpen changes during the game in the last 30 and throughout the playoffs. That, by definition, means that the pitching coach and the manager are more actively involved in the game decision-making, but it's still them.
One of the things you did was build your pitching rotation from the last game backwards, which was, I think, considered by a lot of people to be the stroke that might have made a huge difference.
Well, we had made this team decision that we had 32 left. We were 10.5 back, and we were going to go series to series, and we were going to get where we had been for 5 months. I mean, it was really dramatic. In fact, a lot of this book sounds fictional-like, but it's all compelling, all true. And I thought, well, as a staff and myself as someone that sets up the rotation, I was going to make sure that if they were going to do their best. So I went back and looked at the 32 games, and I started with the last game, and you want Carpenter to pitch it. And I tried to plug Carpenter in as often as I could. And then the key part about that, we had Jackson, who we thought was strong. We had Westbrook. We thought that Loesch and Garcia had really been pushed, and their stamina was at issue. If we could give them rest, it would help. So you did all that maneuvering, and turned out all right.
And that's the manager who's making those calls, needless to say.
Along with the pitching coach.
Yeah, and that's a whole other section of the book with regard to Dave Duncan, your relationship, and the problems that he had at the end of the
right.
season, the personal problems. How difficult is it to manage millionaires?
It can be a real problem. You can be what's the word that I'm searching for? It can make you feel like, you know, they're at a separate place, and you can get distracted from your responsibility. Think about it. The owner, the general manager, they give you the leadership of the team. As the manager, you're supposed to set certain philosophies, certain leadership points to follow. If you ever shirk that responsibility, you're not doing your job. So if somebody walks in who's making more money, has more time, more fame and fortune, and you're cowed by their presence, well, you're not going to take charge. So what you need to do more than anything else is, you remember, you have the office, they have the locker, and you want to be able to do the best you can to lead. And, you know, and players, no matter who they are, I mean, they're just big kids, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but they want to be told, look, this is what we're going to do today, this is how we're going to do it. then just let us play. So there's a role for us, and you can get intimidated by that situation and back off what you think is right.
They don't call them the boys of summer for no reason. Is that right?
That's very accurate.
Let's take a call or two. Greg in Overland, thanks for waiting. You're on the air with Tony La Russa.
Thank you very much. You having had previous American League experience, you saw Ivan Rodriguez in the first half of his career. I never did. Would you compare him and Yadier? I think Yadier is the best I ever saw. And for that matter, would you throw bench in there and compare the three? Thank you.
Great question. I mean, you talk about bench and Rodriguez, you're talking about exceptional athletes. I put Carlton Fisk in there. I mean, these guys were really athletic. Rodriguez and Bench really had great arms, and they were solid offensive players. And I'm probably biased, but in my 50 years, when you put the whole package together, the great catching in all departments, all ways that a catcher can be great defensively, and as a hitter, I would put Yadier as the best I've ever seen.
That's quite a statement. Let's take another call. Charlie will join us. Charlie, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Mr. La Russa, let me just thank you for all the great memories and great baseball that you brought to our city. And I just don't think you'll ever know through all the criticism that you did here through a lot of the talk radio people and stuff like that. As fans, if you don't understand what Tony La Russa did for the city in baseball, with all them games, you know, that in the postseason and all that excitement, you're going to go down in history. You'll be remembered forever. And that's for me and my dog who's with me driving around St. Louis right now.
Well, I appreciate that. And believe me, I enjoyed it as much as you say that you guys have enjoyed it. I make no bones, but I love Chicago and I manage there. Oakland is my home. But there is something about the Cardinals, the Cardinal fans, the Cardinal history. It's a real privilege, actually, to put that uniform on. And the biggest kick I got was the true fun enjoyment that our fans would get when we would have a year like last year. So you guys gave it back to me more than I ever gave you.
The fact that Charlie is traveling with his dog, I'm sure, is something that you approve of as well.
Absolutely.
Your work still pretty much involved in that world, the ARF world, if you
will. The ARF world. Well, our family, that's our passion, and as the players have accused me of many times, I work harder for them than I do for the animals in ARF than I do for the players.
You know, you talk about the St. Louis fans and how great it was for them last year. It changes a city. There's no question about that going through that. But what about your relationship with the fans? You know, I've sensed at times the fans, you know, aren't 100% there for Tony La Russa, primarily because you didn't live here.
I think that was a real issue. I mean, you know, there's a Midwestern culture. You know, you hunt, eat meat. I'm a vegetarian. I don't hunt. As they have my friends that say, you know, I put my arms around trees and I kiss Bambi. Well, and I came in at a very difficult time. You know, the first year Ozzy was the last year he played, and there was some disgruntled that still continues. So I think they had a tough time reading me. And, in fact, I don't think I could have survived had it not been for two men, Jack Buck and Mike Shannon, because they were so well-respected. I think they believed in me early. And they gave fans a pause. Well, wait a minute. Before we actually hang this guy up by, you know, noose in effigy, let's keep a little open mind. I really believe that I think it was 2002, the Darryl Cowell death year. The fans saw how personal our style of coaching is, our coaches and myself. And I felt the difference from the fans, you know, the last 10 years I've been here.
Tony La Russa, in our 2012 interview, he will be inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame on Sunday. At the Cardinals Hall of Fame, producer Alex Hoyer talked with Brian Finch, the manager of stadium tours and museum outreach for the Cardinals. Alex asked Finch about La Russa's legacy and how Tony got his start with the Cardinals.
Tony La Russa is the winningest manager in Cardinals history. And, you know, to say that about a franchise that has the heritage and the legacy that the Cardinals have is a pretty remarkable, you know, factor. It's a pretty remarkable feat. When Tony came to the Cardinals, it was in late 1995. It was after the 1995 regular season. The Cardinals were not a playoff team at that point. The franchise was in, frankly, some disarray. Several years earlier, Gussie Bush, the famed owner of the Cardinals and, of course, head of Anheuser-Busch, had passed away. The organization, in terms of Anheuser-Busch, just didn't have the passion they once had under Gussie's leadership. And it was evident. They weren't re-signing some of the free agents that had been here. The budget for the Cardinals had been somewhat limited. Shortly after Gussie's passing, Whitey Herzog left, who was a fan favorite as a manager. And interestingly, while during that period, Joe Torre was the manager, who is ironically going into the Hall of Fame with Tony La Russa, Torre really didn't get to show off his managerial skills because he was so hamstrung with the players that he had on the roster. So Tony was hired as one of the last acts of the Anheuser-Busch operation. And he was hired in late 1995 with the understanding that with the new ownership change, they knew an ownership change was coming at some point, and that if he, for some reason, wasn't happy with what that change was going to be or that didn't feel like they would, you know, work together well, that, you know, he, part of his contract was he would have the opportunity to walk. And Tony led the club to the 1996 playoffs, got within one game of going to the World Series. It was a very disappointing end in that sense that you get so close and just can't get over the hump. But to take the team into the playoffs and have a division crown and do those things was a real win for the franchise with this new ownership, and that really got them off to a great start.
We're here at the Cardinals Hall of Fame and Museum. Talk a little bit about how the Cardinals have chosen to remember Tony La Russa, to honor his legacy to the organization in the museum.
So with Tony, we really made a point to talk about him more in Busch 3, the Busch Stadium 3 gallery. And, of course, we give his nod and his due in the manager's area and things like that. But Tony was big on it's not about him, it's about the team. And that's where our interest really lies, was it's important to tell the specific stories of certain key players and key personalities along the way, but the Cardinals are a team, and Tony's not bigger than the team, and Albert Pujols was not bigger than the team, or Jim Edmonds, or so on and so forth, some of these great players that played under Tony's leadership.
And we asked Tony La Russa, we asked him, what is the role of a manager? What do you think the role of a manager is?
I think what's most interesting about Tony, when you read some of his books and talk with him, it seems to me most managers think one or two moves ahead of what is going on in the game at any particular time. Tony was, at a minimum, two, if not three or four moves ahead. You know, frankly, he infuriated a lot of baseball fans over the years with his use of the bullpen and micromanaging in a sense. But the game is completely different now, where you have dedicated closers on every club in Major League Baseball. Now you're getting where every team basically has a dedicated eighth inning pitcher. Some teams have a dedicated seventh inning pitcher. If there was a way to get an advantage within the rule book to win a game, Tony was going to figure out what that was and try to take that advantage. He's really changed the game as a result of that.
It seems to me that Cardinals fans pretty much always respected Tony La Russa because he was a successful manager and he won games. But it also seems that not all of Cardinals Nation really embraced him. And I don't know if that was because he didn't move his family to St. Louis or he didn't live in St. Louis full time. But Cardinals Nation just didn't seem to embrace him the same way that they did Whitey Herzog, for example. I'm wondering if there's anything to be said about the way that Cardinals fans viewed him.
You know, I think there could be. It's no secret that there was a contingent of Cardinals fans that were always frustrated with Tony, regardless sometimes of the winning or losing. And you know, the numbers bear out that it was a lot more winning than it was losing. But I think he had two tough acts to follow in Whitey and Joe Torre. Even though Torre didn't have some great years here, Torre had played for the Cardinals and had won an MVP award in 1971. It was a bit of a homecoming for him. With Whitey Herzog, it was a homecoming. While he had never played for the Cardinals in his major league playing career, in terms of a regional sense, he's a St. Louis guy. You know, he's from just on the other side of the river in Illinois here. And so I think that was a lot for it's a lot for some fans to have to swallow that, you know, St. Louis Cardinals fans, to an extent, are proud because it's their team and it's their hometown and their way of life. And here was an outsider coming into our territory and didn't have that connection. Didn't relocate his family here, went back to California in the off seasons, and winning calms everybody down. And to win the World Championship in 2006, and of course to return in 2011 and win in the fashion they did, I think it softened a lot of views on Tony and really showed what he could do when given, you know, an opportunity and the trust of the fans and the organization. And I think it was fun to be part of that ride with him. Now, in hindsight, we recognize it was his swan song, but you know, you could just see the emotion on his face and the smiles and the laughs in the dugout and seeing his reactions in, you know, certain games of that playoff run. And you know, he had never been more into a game, in my opinion. And frankly, visually, we never saw more come out of him because of the impact or the outcome of that game either.
You just said seeing Tony La Russa smile in the dugout, which is not something people would often associate with Tony La Russa.
It wasn't, you know, and Tony, in my opinion, was a master of really understanding who he needed to be to the public and in a different way who he needed to be to his players. Most players loved playing for Tony La Russa, and we read back and look at his history and think about things where he batted the pitcher eighth. And it was always curious to me. Batting the pitcher eighth or batting the pitcher ninth, while may go against the traditional sense of baseball that the pitcher bats ninth, there really is not a negligible difference between the two positions in the lineup. But Tony would do that and completely deflect any criticism towards, you know, his starting infielder or outfielder who had been struggling at the plate for four games. And it's interesting how he would find ways to take the impact or the brunt of the criticism and put it on his back so his players could focus on their craft and their talent and their skill and figuring out how to get back on track. I've seen few, if any, managers that can do things like that as well as Tony.
Tony La Russa has chosen to enter baseball's Hall of Fame without a hat. That is to say that he has chosen not to enter as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. What's the Cardinals organization's reaction to that?
Well, obviously, Tony is a valued member of our club, and we respect his decision, you know, to go in without a logo on his hat. Definitely, with free agency, it's changed the game a little bit in terms of Hall of Fame caps. You know, for years, players went in, and they played the majority of their career with one specific team, and it was a pretty easy decision. But now, since we've been through several decades now of free agency and the same going with the managers, where a player can have a Hall of Fame career and play with three, four, five different teams in a sense. And that's precisely what Tony's done. And he really had an impact and left a legacy in Oakland. He did some things with the White Sox and has a very close personal relationship with Jerry Reinsdorf, their owner. And, of course, it's clearly stated what he's done with the Cardinals and, you know, 1,408 wins, the most in franchise history, two world championships, two 100-win seasons. So, you know, the club completely respects Tony's decision. Would we have loved to see him in a Cardinals hat? Well, obviously, you know, we're biased towards that. But we definitely love Tony and appreciate what he's done for us. And if that's his perspective is to go on without a logo on a hat as to honor all of the clubs he worked with, then we completely respect that.
Is there a favorite item or section of the Cardinals Hall of Fame and Museum that points to Tony La Russa or something about when he was managing that you're particularly fond of?
Well, we have a number of great things on display from Tony, whether they be just items from his career or about his career. I think some of the items, though, that speak to me the most, just very recently after we opened the museum, Tony came back to town and for years had kept his lineup cards that hung in the dugout. And we had known as an organization and were comfortable with him having some of those autographed by different players that had key, you know, moments in any given game that the lineup card was from. And Tony would auction those off and raise money for ARF, his Animal Rescue Foundation, which has been a huge part of his life outside of baseball to help animals and find homes for them and things like that and, you know, get people to adopt animals as pets. And so what we weren't aware of is that Tony had kept his lineup cards from every game of the 2006 World Series and every game of the 2011 World Series. And after this was made clear to us, the team had reached out to him, and Tony actually donated every one of those lineup cards. So we've got all five games from 2006 and, of course, all seven games from 2011. And when you see some of these lineup cards in person and we have the final game of each of those World Series currently on display, it really gives just a very slight glimpse into the mastery, you know, a little bit of the mind of Tony La Russa, of seeing the adjustments and the different colored pins and the slash marks, or how he would put a name in as a replacement or a substitution, or how he would make that adjustment. And he did all those things as he was managing the game so that he could keep track of who he still had in the bullpen, who was still in the dugout, who, you know, was on the bench as a lefty or a righty. And those have always fascinated me. Is, you know, it's like, you know, seeing the handwritten draft of some great author's, you know, scholarly work. Well, that's what this lineup card is, in a sense, for the Cardinals and Tony La Russa as a manager. So those are something that I'm really proud that we have on display, and just delighted that he wanted to share with fans through us.
Brian Finch, manager of stadium tours and museum outreach for the Cardinals, with producer Alex Hoyer. When we come back, beer comes to a local college campus, but not in the way you might think. And women and beer, also in a way you might not think. It's next. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.